This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
All right, welcome back. Lakers and Mavs on ESPN tomorrow night. Tim McMahon, ESPN, and author of the book The Wonder Boy about Luka. Available now. Brian's been reading it. He loves it. So we'll talk with Timmy here about this matchup and all things Luka and Mavericks. Segment's brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today at carsforkids.org. And the Expressway is presented by the on-time experts. And a good afternoon, Tim. How the heck are you?
Hey, partners. How you boys doing?
Man, we are doing awesome. Saw you on TV earlier today. I wanted to get your thoughts on this Mike Malone story that the Nuggets coach fired. A pretty big surprise. Why'd they feel like they had to do this now?
Well, I was told that Josh Kroenke, the the guy in the ownership group, explained it this way. He felt that the plane was crashing and that Michael Malone and Calvin Booth couldn't fix the situation because they were too worried about their egos and their own power struggle. So there had been a season-long power struggle, really going back even before this season, between Michael Malone and Calvin Booth. They both ended up losing because they both ended up out of their jobs. And they're going to turn things over to a longtime assistant, David Adelman, and see if that can kind of salvage a situation that, again, the Nuggets ownership group had felt had turned sour and was destined for a likely first-round exit. The timing is awfully strange, but apparently this is something that they were thinking about doing before the All-Star break. Did the Nuggets won 8 straight games going into the break, so tough to pull the trigger at that time. But a pretty blatantly disrespectful way to fire the most successful coach in franchise history and the guy who won a championship just 2 years ago.
Yeah, well said, man. Well, book's been out a couple of weeks now. How's the reaction been for you?
Yeah, I think the people that have read it have reacted favorably, and then there's a lot of people who haven't read it who don't like it. So I'll take that.
What was Luka's reaction to the whole book situation?
Honestly, I have not heard from Luka. I don't anticipate hearing from Luka. When I first started working on the book, I had heard that he was not thrilled about that. And I think he relaxed when I made it clear to his people that this was not going to be about delving into his personal life or poking my nose in his personal business. It was a book about basketball and the business of basketball. And, that's what I stuck to. And there was a lot of fascinating basketball and business of basketball during Luka's time in Dallas. I got to tell you, as I was writing the book, there was a lot of time I thought that this thing might end in the trade of Luka, but I never imagined it would be because the Mavericks decided to dump him. I mean, the whole book is kind of about the pressure on a franchise when you draft a prodigy through the prism of Luka and the Mavericks and this, build it or they might leave kind of situation. And I never thought Luka wanted to leave Dallas, but I did think that possibility might kind of punch him in the face, especially when they had a tank at the end of the season after the Kyrie trade. But they managed to succeed in the mission despite all kinds of twists and turns. And they went to the finals last year. And then you know, I'm still flabbergasted about the decision to dump the guy before the very next trade deadline, but it happened, and here we are, and Luka is coming back to Dallas next week, but he ain't staying very long, just a little in and out.
Unbelievable. It's Tim McMahon here with you on The Fan. I guess 6 weeks later, it's still surreal. Tim, I wanted to get your thoughts on what you think about some of those haters out there, and I think it's got to be frustrating for you because you do this job so well, the journalism, the toughness, the respect that you get from everybody out there in the game. But so many people have the opinion that maybe you were doing this to be a mouthpiece for Nico or some other nefarious motive. What do you have to say about those folks?
I mean, listen, I'm not going to try to change the opinion of people who clearly aren't listening or reading. You know, it is what it is. I had a big party here. Broadus was there. You know, and there was not a whole lot of extra room, so I don't need any more friends, I don't think. So I'm okay with all that.
Yeah, Tim, the book is incredible. The attention to detail that you know, even like the interviews that you had with these people, what they've told you about the background information, the stories, it really is. Congratulations on it. I'm halfway finished with it. I have a hard time of putting it down. It's just that good.
Well, I appreciate you, Brother Broadus. And all it took me was about, 8 or 10 free beers, and then suddenly you were on my side.
Well, you did write one in my inscription to me that you said, thank you for not killing me that time when we worked together at ESPN. Because you and I did get nose to nose one time, and I said, but I remember going back to you and saying, listen, I'm glad you didn't kill me.
Yeah, my money be on Tim.
Yeah, I as I look back on that, Tim, you would have just pummeled me that day, but I appreciate you not doing that.
I doubt that. I did not lettering football at LSU, so I'm not sure that was one that I wanted to – a fight that I wanted to pick. But we both survived that.
We did.
Somehow, some way, just like somehow – you know, those guys have survived working with you for all this time. But, I'm glad that everybody's okay.
Well, the only thing that surprises me about that story is it only took 8 to 10 beers there for Broadus.
Yeah.
It takes much more for us.
I might be underestimating.
Tim, I wanted to pick your brain on the cultural differences here with some of these now. We got European, international superstars, Jokic. We saw after he won with Denver. All he wanted to do is get the hell back home. He's like, oh my gosh, we got to have a parade. And Mark Cuban was just talking with Stephen A. about maybe not understanding the cultural differences with Luka. I mean, how much of that do you think played a role? And then moving forward, teams are going to have to understand the way of life is different compared to maybe what we're used to seeing the Jordans and the Kobes in America.
You know, I heard Cuban say that, and I don't know if it was cultural differences that led to this divide between Luka and Nico. You know, Nico obviously wants to compare everybody, every star, to Kobe Bryant. Luka, frankly, like, has a different approach. Would you like? But here's one reason I say I don't think it's a cultural thing. Basically, you're talking about like this maniacal commitment to diet and conditioning. Well, last I checked, Dirk's from Europe.
Yeah.
Like, did Dirk not epitomize that? Mm. That, like, it's, you know, so I think these are individual. Look, there are American guys. I don't know, Shaq. I understand, yeah. Patrick Dumont used him as an example, a guy with incredible work ethic. But simple fact is, Shaq is American, and he played his way into shape every single year. He was also just unbelievable talent and was an all-time great despite that. And again, I've said it 100 times, the conditioning concerns with Luka are legitimate concerns. They were concerns in the pre-draft process. They've been concerns throughout the course of his career. And throughout the course of his career, which he should just be entering his prime now, he's been a 5-time first-team All-NBA selection. He's led the league in scoring. You know, he took a team to the finals a couple of years after taking a completely different supporting cast to the conference finals. You know, this is not a guy who we're looking at and saying, hey, he has the potential to become something. He is proven to be a perennial MVP candidate. So is he perfect? No. Does he have flaws? Yes. They're obvious. But, I mean, I can't sit here and argue that the flaws – outweigh the incredibly historic production that this guy's had. And, you know, you can't say, hey, you can't win with that guy when, yeah, you can and you have.
It's Tim McMahon here with you from ESPN on The Fan.
Hey, Tim, I don't know if I asked you this. I know I didn't ask you at the book signing, though, but is there people within the Mavericks organization that could have stepped in and made maybe change this, change the direction? Is there people in the front office that could have, you know, that could have had a voice and said, listen, you're making a mistake, Nico, doing this? Or was it people just that fearful of their jobs with Nico?
I can't speak on the behind-the-scenes conversations with absolute certainty, so I just want to clarify that.
Sure.
What I can tell you is I don't believe this was a unanimous decision. I do believe that there were people who, you know, tried to prevent it from happening.
Okay.
Now, also, very intentionally, Mark Cuban was completely cut out of not just these conversations, but all basketball matters for the Mavericks since basically the day that the ink dried on him selling the franchise or the majority share of the franchise. We all know this deal doesn't happen if Mark Cuban's still in control, but despite what he said at the time, and if you believe him, despite what was promised to him, he has zero control in basketball operations. He has no more say than any other rich dude who has courtside season tickets. And, you know, that was clear well before this deal and, you know, crystal clear after the deal. And Cuban tried to talk Nico out of it, but the deal was done by the time they gave Cuban a heads up. Sure. Patrick Dumont, obviously, he has veto power. He didn't solicit the opinion of anybody else.
Yeah,
he just, you know, he gave Nico free rein. Dumont, who's been the owner of an NBA franchise for a little over a year now, didn't feel like it was, you know, necessary to.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy. And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
We get the best start to the day because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Gauge Cuban's opinion on the matter. Didn't feel like it was necessary to, you know, give Dirk a call and say, hey, what do you think of this?
Sure.
If either of those things would have happened, maybe the deal doesn't happen. Maybe the trade doesn't go down. But again, this is a situation where Patrick Dumont has given Nico Harrison the ultimate trust, and Nico wanted to get this deal done. He made it happen. And, you know, they both said time will tell if it's right. You know, the early returns obviously haven't been kind. And then just the simple math isn't very favorable. By Nico's own words, you've created a 3 to 4 year time frame for a franchise that, in successfully building a contender around Luka, gave up the first round capital in 27, 28, 29, and 30. I took a long time to get through college, but if I'm starting to add that up, that doesn't make a lot of sense to me.
No, not at all. ESPN's Tim McMahon with us here in the G-Bag Nation. In regards to tomorrow night, it'll be the second night of a back-to-back for the Lakers. It looks like Luka's playing tonight. Is there any chance that he doesn't play tomorrow?
I mean, I guess there's a chance. I cannot imagine if Luka, you know, leaves Oklahoma City healthy that he wouldn't play and try to rip the Mavs' hearts out tomorrow night. He has played, I believe, in the last couple of back-to-backs for the Lakers. They had him, LeBron, and some others listed as questionable tonight. If they were going to decide to rest those guys one game or the other, I think it's pretty obvious it would have been tonight in OKC. But, you know, they're playing for seeding. I mean, it is a tightly packed group from 3 to 8. The Lakers are leading that pack right now, and, you know, I'm sure they'd like to hang on to the third seed if possible, but I just can't imagine Luka sitting out, you know, sitting in street clothes in his return game to Dallas. That would, you know what, you never say never, because I couldn't imagine that they'd trade him before the deadline coming off the finals appearance. That would that'd be pretty stunning.
What do you expect fan reaction to be like?
So, one, it'll be a full house, which has not been the norm lately. Two, you're going to have whatever it holds, 19,000 and change, that are all wanting to see Luka put on an absolute show. And look, you guys, you know, you interact with fans, you live here, you understand, I think, what's likely to be the mixed emotions of a lot of people that are going to be in those seats tomorrow night, where you've got lifelong Mavs fans that are questioning their loyalty to a franchise. That was kind of, you know, in recent history, the last generation plus, the whole concept of the franchise has been based on loyalty with superstars. And obviously that's not the case now. So I think you've got a lot of Mavs fans that are thinking, are we more Luka fans and Mavs fans at this point? Are we adopting the Lakers? And then you've got the people who are still like, hey, I'm a hardcore Mavs fan, but I'm always going to love that guy. You know, I always say, like, Luka's flaws are very apparent, but Mavs fans, by and large, are either fiercely protective of him or extremely forgiving of him, and they all absolutely love the guy. And so I think tomorrow is going to be a surreal combination of a celebration of 6.5 spectacular seasons and the mourning that it wasn't much, much more than that, that they didn't get 16, 18, you know, however many years he plays in the league, that, you know, in the minds of fans, and I think rationally so, Luka's time in Dallas was cut short way before it needed to be.
What type of pregame tribute stuff do you expect?
You know, I don't know if it'll be – obviously, he's going to get a huge reward when he's introduced. I am told that there's a tribute video that has been prepared. I don't know when exactly that will play. You know, but the Mavs as an organization are in a really awkward place with this because you decided to trade him. You decided to dump him. And frankly, as an organization, you decided to publicly kind of humiliate him on the way out the door. And so now you're going to bring him back and have a lovey-dovey celebration. It's going to be, there's going to be some pretty extreme awkwardness involved here.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like the organization is just in a weird place in general. I mean, you talked about this timeline now. I mean, how do you envision this thing moving forward? The three bigs, the defense, and the defense wins championships line that Nico sold. The defense hadn't been there so far. I mean, how do you see this thing playing out into the offseason with Kyrie? Any other moves they can try to add to this thing?
Well, look, the Kyrie torn ACL was obviously an extremely unfortunate development and a disastrous development because any hopes of competing for anything meaningful this season went kaput that night. And it really, really, really puts a major dent into next season. Like, we don't know how much time Kyrie's going to miss next season. We don't know when he's going to come back. We don't know if he's going to be able to get back to being the Kyrie that we saw this year, last year, for most of his career. At any point next season. But if you've created a 3 to 4 year time frame, the first year is kaput, the second year is in serious jeopardy, man, that's rough. And obviously, they've got to find another guy who can be kind of a primary ball handler and creator for whatever time that Kyrie misses next season. And then Nico's history is that he takes big swings in the trade market. You know, I have been told that the Mavericks won't be aggressive in the market for Kevin Durant. I don't know if I necessarily believe that. You know, to be clear, I'm not reporting that they won't be. I'm just saying that I've been told they won't be. But, you know, there are times where you're told stuff that doesn't necessarily mean that it's true.
Tim, we've taken you really long already. If you got to go, just hang up on us. We appreciate it. I just had a few more. Do you think Nico would want Jokic?
I think any general manager in his right mind would want Jokic.
But do you think Nico would?
I would assume that. I mean, I think I kind of understand where you're going with that.
Yeah.
I would say yes.
Okay. I guess actually winning the championship is the proof that I can get it done despite all my flaws.
Well, and look, like, again, I've been accused of being a Nico mouthpiece, as silly as that is. I think if I'm putting myself in his shoes, I would explain that Joker has made the kind of commitment to conditioning that Luka has. And the Joker did make that adjustment early in his career when he dropped a bunch of weight and, you know, kept it off. And, you know, the durability has been there, et cetera, et cetera. You know, hey, I'll also point out, getting myself out of supposed Nico mouthpiece mode, that Luka played more minutes than anybody in the league last year when you combine regular season and playoffs. So has he had his bumps and bruises? Yes. Is the calf strain a concern? You know, there's been four of them 28 months. Sure. But, you know, if you're going to trade somebody because you think his body's breaking down and you're trading for another superstar who has a durability injury, you know, a history of durability concerns, and he's 6 years older, again, there's a lot of situations here where the math ain't mathing.
Yes, sir. Well, we love it. We appreciate you, and have fun covering this thing tomorrow. We look forward to your reports.
I appreciate it, fellas. Adios, amigos.
Salute. Tim McMahon, ESPN. Longtime ESPN guy. Yeah. The book, The Wonder Boy, available on Amazon now. And, yeah, I mean, what Broda said, what Tim said, it's the best historical account of everything that's gone into Luka.
It is.
Even if you don't want to read about the controversy.
No, even if you don't want to read about the controversy, but he tells you the story with Rick Carlisle, Vegas Bob, with Donnie Nelson. I mean, there are so many things that are interesting in this book that he is able to kind of tie up the loose ends.
But my prediction for tomorrow, this is going to be closure. I think for some people, it is after this, it's going to be a lot easier just to sort of move on.
Yeah. And
you know, not spend as much time talking about it. But ultimately, I think this becomes a Cowboys, Rangers, Stars town, right? I think there's going to be a core base of Mavs fans that are going to keep watching, and salute to those guys for keeping this thing alive, you know? Yeah. But I don't think it makes a return to credibility, at least until the 2030s. Like when Tim McMahon said 4 years, I absolutely agree. I don't think you're going to have a chance to put this thing back together. And I can't imagine, you know, the meeting that's going to happen in that Adelson family when they realize what their idiot son-in-law did and the billions of dollars that that I think it's going to cost them over the next decade. I don't think that's a stretch.
Absolutely.
Because it's going to become irrelevant here. It's going to go back to like the 80s where the Mavs were irrelevant on the NBA national scale. That's what you're looking at, you know, and you're not even going to be able to compete to try to be a playoff team. It's going to be you're terrible. Your draft pick, which is in the top five, is going to another team because you wanted Porzingis or you know, something like this over the last couple of years.
Sucks.
And, you know, to me, that's a situation where it's impossible to find hope out of,
yeah.
You know, so tomorrow is the end. I'm so pissed at Nico. I think I would just be red in the face if I saw him in the street because of what he's taken away from the Dallas sports scene. And I imagine eventually he'll be fired, or maybe they'll sell the team out of lack of interest here in DFW. You know, I don't know how much of a viable product it is. They treated the fans like they were casino customers, that you could just abuse them and they're going to keep coming back. And I think now they are going to get their first massive lesson in what it is to be a pro sports owner. But, you know, tomorrow night, Luka in town. And as Tim said, it'll be a sellout. I'm sure the TV ratings will be great. Mm-hmm.